It's that time, the Betting Predators podcast, where our main objective is hunting down the best bets for you. I'm your host, Sleepy J. You guys can find me on Twitter at SleepyJ_pregame, joined here by the football guru, football fanatic. Got Uncle Dave in the house. You guys can find him on Twitter at Dave_Essler. You guys could always get us at thebettingpredators.com and on the best sports betting information site on the web, pregame.com. All right, guys, here we go. College football championship week. Uncle Dave and I, we're going to go ahead. We're going to break down four marquee matchups. We also have a Friday game here, Uncle Dave, with Utah and USC. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Coach J-Rod off this week, but he did send two picks in. So we have those for you guys ready to roll. Uncle Dave, interesting with everything playing out over the last couple of days. So they went ahead, they put USC on Friday night against Utah. We're going to get to see this one for a second time this year. Current line in the game right now, USC -2.5. We have a total of 67. Curious what your thoughts are on this one.
Well, I think you know what my thoughts are, and I think we're probably going to have a green button discussion here. You know, you would think that with all USC has to gain, that with, you know, three quarters of the tickets and most of the money on them, this number would have been more than three, and that it probably wouldn't have come back to 2.5. It actually went all the way down to 1.5 at Circa. I think it's back up to 2. And I think this is one time I got to pay homage to the market, Sleepy. I mean, yeah, they've already beaten USC, so they know they can. I know it was a one-point game. But they only lost one game all season by more than 3 points, and that was to UCLA. And if you remember what Utah was ranked early in the season, and then they had that Florida loss, which was tough. You know, they're not as bad as people think. And, you know, they do have the better defense, which is, that's always a tiebreaker for me. You know, I know they're vulnerable in the back end and they face the probable Heisman winner. But I'm not sure this is about X's and O's anymore. I think it's coaching who devises and executes the better game plan. And, you know, given Riley's Oklahoma teams that oftentimes fell a game short or lost in a big game, and Whittingham's teams that often win bowl games that perhaps they shouldn't, I'm going to go with Utah, and I'm also going to be looking at the under. I know their regular season game had 85 points, and that's a reason that this total shot up. But, you know, I'm basically going the other way in terms of what the public's saying, because in the end, you know, they don't have big buildings in Vegas and books that can spend millions of dollars on getting legalized gambling in California. They don't do that for nothing. So, you know, everybody, and I think their brother will be on USC in the over. So I'm just going to go the other way, Sleepy, and I'm going to give you something to shoot a bunch of holes in because I know you like USC.
All right, Uncle Dave, it was a good handicap, but I will say that it was wrong. Here's the deal. They're not going to let USC lose this game. USC in the playoff, you know, we talked about this, I think it was last week, Uncle Dave, and you were kind of in the camp that you weren't sold that USC was going to make the playoff. And I told you that if they ended up winning their last game, that they were going to be in a position to go ahead and get in. And I think it's a foregone conclusion that if USC beats Utah tonight, that they're in. And there's no way the committee's not going to put USC in the playoff. Look, you guys know me. I'm a conspiracy theory type of guy. And USC, in my opinion, they are the better team here. They lost by 1 point against this Utah team. And Utah's good, don't get me wrong. But this team outside of their building, I think, is a little bit different. I think it's going to be a little bit of a challenge here. Going, you know, in indoor stadium, and Allegiant is going to be, I think, a little bit more favorable for a team like USC. Mark my words that USC is going to get some calls tonight, and I would not be shocked if that team plays with the lead all game long. But I have no problem laying 2.5 points here with USC, and I'm in the complete opposite camp here, Uncle Dave, with, you know, a lot of these games in particular, a couple of them here, that I could care less what the market thinks. I honestly don't give a shit what the market thinks. I'm more worried about what the committee thinks, because that's what this all comes down to. It all comes down to dollars at the end of the day with them. They are not going to let USC lose this game. I think USC plays with the lead. I think they could beat this team heads up, straight up. But if they need some favorable calls to go in their direction to make sure that they're in the playoff, that's going to happen. Because what happens if USC doesn't get in? What do? They say, oh, we're going to put Ohio State in there or a two-loss Alabama. How's that going to go over? Everything gets screwed up tonight if USC loses. There's just no way. Caleb Williams is going to win the Heisman Trophy. And I will say this, though, and a lot of people might disagree with this one. If for somehow, some way, USC loses this game tonight and they maybe look bad, I would maybe consider putting a pizza bet on Max Duggan to go ahead and win the Heisman Trophy at like 25, 30 to 1. Just, $5, $10 on a little pizza bet, because you never know how things might swing, especially when it comes to, that, especially if they end up undefeated. So I will go ahead and say that, but I'm all over USC, -2.5, don't care. I think they win this game, and it's not even that close this time. They're going to make sure it's comfortable. So it's USC for me. J-Rod has a pick on this one. Let's go ahead. Let's see what he got.
Boy, oh boy, are we blessed with a Friday night special, man. USC and Utah. Obviously, this is going to be the most watched game on Friday night. That's easy to say. But I just love when USC is good. I'm not a USC fan, but it just feels like college football is better when USC is good. And man, are they good. Guys, this is going to be just a spot pick for me. Take away all the stats and everything you want like that. This is a spot game for me. USC has one loss on their record. They're hanging on to that four spot in the playoff right now. They understand they can't lose. They lose and they're out of the playoff. But Caleb Williams has absolutely been unreal up to this point, even in the 42-43 loss. Still throwing for over 380 yards. Listen to this stat line, guys. 268 for 407. 3,700 yards, 34 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. After his amazing performance last week against number 15 Notre Dame at home, I think he has the Heisman on lock. I think USC has been playing its best football of late, and that's exactly what you want to see in this situation here. I think Utah stumbling against Oregon kind of showed USC, who tries to play the similar type of offense, what they need to do to get a win. Obviously, this game will not be in Utah, so the Utes will not have the luxury of the fans behind them, the crowd noise, which obviously I think caught USC a little off guard. I don't think at that point in the season they were ready to play in that type of environment, even though they almost pulled off a win. But man, USC is just playing unreal right now. I love Caleb Williams. I love the coach. They have so much on the line. Utah with three losses, they're not playing for anything. I mean, obviously a Pac-12 championship, I'm not trying to discredit that at all, but they're obviously not playing for a chance to get in the national championship. I think this is all USC. That might be pretty square, but I'm going to ride on the emotion. I'm going to ride on the quarterback, and I'm going to ride with the coach, with the Trojans. I also do like the over in this game. It's kind of weird. I think USC has hit the over in their last five games, and Utah has hit the under in four of their last five games, so something's got to give there. But I think Utah is just going to be playing catch up here. I think USC plays a bend don't break type of defense that will allow Utah to get back in this one and maybe keep it under seven for a good part of the game. But in the end, I think this just means too much to this program, to this quarterback, to this coach in their first year, and I think they're going to get it done. Give me the Trojans and lean towards the over.
All right, so there you guys go. It's me and J-Rod against Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave, you're on an island by yourself, and I know that you do not mind being on an island by yourself, but we'll see how you feel at the end of the night tonight with the game between Utah and USC. Let's jump over to the next big one here, Uncle Dave, on Saturday. We got Kansas State. We have TCU. Current line in this game, TCU -2.5. We have a total of 62. Uncle Dave, before you start out, I'm going to let J-Rod go ahead and start out and let you hear what his thoughts. See what you think.
All right, guys, this is going to be a big time showdown in Arlington. Obviously, we got Kansas State versus TCU. A lot riding on this game, a little bit more so for TCU. This is actually going to be my best bet of this weekend of all the games. TCU only favored by 2.5 points. Coming into this game, I was looking at some early trends. Both teams have absolutely been amazing against the spread coming into this year. TCU has been hitting over 80%. They're 9-2-1 against the spread, and Kansas State is actually almost just as good, just over 70%, 8-3-1 against the spread. Obviously, something has to give. First thing first, when it just comes to football in general, not even talking about betting, it's so hard to beat a good team twice. Obviously, we know how elusive TCU is, and they have escaped some close games as of recently. You know, I think back to the Baylor game where they walked that off. They've been a little bit fortunate in bigger games, I would say, against some tougher teams. But TCU, since switching to Will Howard, has absolutely been a new kind of threat. They push the ball down the field. Obviously, they have the Big 12 leading rusher in Deuce Vaughn. They're going to be able to rely on him. But Will Howard has also already proved back earlier in Week 8 that he could shred against this team, throwing for two touchdowns and over 200 yards. If you guys remember in that game at TCU, Kansas State was actually up 28-17 at half. Everything went wrong in the second half. Multiple turnover on downs, which obviously is caused by a good TCU defense, but also a couple missed field goals. So I think that that was a little bit misleading. TCU ended up winning by 10 at home, but with this neutral site game, even though it will be in Arlington, I think Kansas State fans are going to come out, and I think they're going to be ready to play. Will Howard's going to give them that little different dimension. They're going to be able to push the ball. They're going to be able to run the ball. And the other thing that they're going to be able to do is just play a lot more free. TCU has a lot on the line. If they lose, should they get into the playoffs? Absolutely. I don't think there's any doubt in my mind. Even with a loss here, I feel like they should be in the playoffs as a 12-1 team. I don't know if they're going to think that the committee is going to see it that way. I think they're going to come out just a little bit tight. They did have a good-looking offense last week, obviously, against a really poor Iowa State team, but I think they're going to come out a little tight. Kansas State has nothing to play for. Okay, you won a Big 12 championship. Obviously, yes, that's a little bit something, but they're going to be able to play free. They're going to be able to put a little bit more risk into it. They're going to be able to go for it a little bit more on fourth downs. They're going to be able to roll the dice a little bit. I think they have nothing to lose, and I think when the common bettor looks at this line and says that the undefeated team is only laying under a field goal, I think that's where the public is generally going to go. And when people tend to zig, I tend to zag. It's just tough to beat a really good team twice. And guys, this is a good Kansas State team, even though we know TCU is good as well. I'm going to take the points here. I'm also going to sprinkle a little bit on the money line. I think Kansas State is going to be loose. They're going to be ready to go, and I can't wait to hear what Sleepy and Uncle Dave have to say.
All right, so there's J-Rod going against TCU. He's going to go ahead back Kansas State there. Uncle Dave, is that music to your ears or not?
I don't know. I think what I'm going to do is wait until Saturday to bet this, to be honest with you. I'm not too worried about line movement. I mean, I would just take K-State on the money line if I go that way. And why would I do that? Well, because, you know, TCU will know the outcome of the USC game Friday. And I think that's big. I think if USC wins, that puts a little extra pressure on TCU, knowing they have zero wiggle room. And if USC loses, you know, maybe they relax a little bit, saying, well, okay, we got this. And, you know, I mean, Georgia and Michigan are both going to win. So this is the only Saturday game possibly affected by Friday's game. And when TCU beat them during the season, I look back and, Wildcats had an 11-point halftime lead. They scored 28 points in the first half. And they didn't score a point in the second half. And TCU held the ball for 38 minutes and ran for almost 200 yards, almost 500 yards of total offense. I know Kansas State will make adjustments, but I wonder how much of that first half was a byproduct of maybe TCU not taking them as seriously as they should have. On the flip side, K-State has some good wins at Oklahoma. They just killed Baylor in Waco. And they do have the better defense, and that's always important. I think Klieman has the ability to prepare teams. I mean, he won four D1 championships at North Dakota State in 5 years. And Sonny Dykes has taken teams to four bowl games and actually lost them all. So with trepidation, I'm going to take Kansas State. And I think the straw that broke the camel's back as to why I'm going to do that is because I think we have another disagreement.
All right, Uncle Dave, mighty fine handicap, but I'm going to say wrong again. It's the same story with TCU as it is here with USC. We can get into a long discussion after this, Uncle Dave, where we could probably just iron it out now. In my opinion, TCU is not going to lose this game. They're going to, just as I said with USC, they're going to get every favorable call. And why is that? Well, I think it's important to actually take a look at the current rankings and just see how everything looks. And if I'm in the committee, my job is extremely easy right now. I'll tell you right now, if TCU wins on Saturday, they are playing Georgia. That's without a doubt. We don't like to use the word lock. Pretty damn close to a lock. They are going to put USC against Georgia. They're not going to put TCU against, let's just say it's USC or Michigan, in fear that TCU knocks one of those two teams off, and then we end up with a Georgia-TCU final. Nobody wants to see TCU in the final, except TCU and their fan base. And I believe that they'll pin Michigan against USC and figure it out. And if it ends up being USC in the final against Georgia, then hey, great. You know, USC, awesome head coach. You know, we got the Heisman Trophy winner, cool. And if it's Michigan, they're undefeated. So, I mean, say what you want. I mean, a lot of it's conspiracy theory type crap, but that's one of the things that I rely on in my handicaps is I believe that things are the way that they are because everything is ruled by the almighty dollar and the money is money over everything. And that's the way that, unfortunately, some things work. But this is a business at the end of the day. And I think the business decision here is that TCU and USC get in. So I'm not fading those two teams. I think USC stands a very good chance to go ahead and beat Utah. And I think TCU stands a very good chance to beat Kent State. If TCU plays anywhere near what they played like last week, Kent State's not going to even be close in this game. They're going to get beat by a couple scores. So I'm on TCU. I'm on USC. Me and Uncle Dave on the opposite side there, Uncle Dave. I'm not sure how you feel about that craziness that I just explained there, Uncle Dave, but that's what I feel. I feel that Georgia's playing TCU no matter what if TCU wins, and there's no way that Michigan and USC don't play each other, obviously. So that's where I'm at. Tell me if I'm totally nuts, maybe a little bit nuts, or maybe you think I'm on the right track.
Nuts. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go back to something you said. That was a great handicap, Sleepy, but you're wrong. I just don't you are adamant that USC and TCU will both win. I'm not. I just don't think it's going to be that easy. And if one of them loses, I mean, they almost have to put Ohio State in there. I don't care that they got crushed by Michigan. I don't think they put Alabama in. I mean, if they both lose, I think they would put because Alabama and Ohio State because – you know, you're talking about money, and yeah, that is a big deal. I think the committee would love for USC and TCU to both lose so they can put Ohio State and Alabama in because that would be a Final Four that would get ratings and you know, hence money, the almighty dollar. So, I mean, I don't think it's quite that cut and dried. And, you know, obviously, if you're right and they both win, it's not going to matter. If one of those two teams lose, I think they'll put Ohio State back in there. I mean, I'm gonna go with it and say that you're wrong, and I hope one of them loses so we can see how this plays out.
All right, well, we'll see if I'm totally crazy, but I don't know. But I'm sticking with what I was thinking there. Let's jump over to LSU and Georgia. Georgia minus 17.5, total 52 here, Uncle Dave. The market has moved heavy here on the Bulldogs. I'm not sure if it's warranted, but, I mean, it's Georgia, and they know that if they win, they're more than likely going to be the number one seed. I don't know what to do with this game there, Uncle Dave. I don't want to lay 17.5, but I don't know if I want to go against that Georgia buzzsaw. LSU just lost. I'm going to pass that. I would look at the over. I think there's a good chance that the over hits. That's kind of what I'm thinking here for this one. What do you got first?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough one. I mean, the one thing that sticks out to me here first is that, you know, Georgia's played in this game numerous times, and LSU has not. So, you know, yeah, it's a pseudo home game for Georgia, but, you know, so what? LSU will have plenty of fans there. Having said that, though, I didn't give Brian Kelly enough credit during the season. I tried to fade LSU and was wrong several times, but, you know, losing badly at home to the Vols and then losing last week at A&M, I can't overlook those things. But they do have an overlooked defense. They could make it at least harder for Georgia than people might think. I mean, clearly the line's inflated because it's the number one team against a team that lost inexplicably last week. But is 17.5 enough to take LSU? It could be, but You know, let's not forget Georgia has the number one scoring defense and the number one points per play defense in the nation. It's playing an SEC schedule. It's not like they just dominated the Mountain West or something week in and week out. So I think if LSU is going to stay in this game, and clearly Brian Kelly has to know this, they can't do it by manning up. I think they're going to have to get creative. I think that's something Georgia is probably aware of. And, you know, Kelly is certainly quite capable of, you know, chicanery, if you will. So I could maybe get behind LSU for the first half. You know, people assume Georgia's just going to blow them off from the word go. But those things don't normally just happen. I think Daniels, maybe he's mobile enough to give him some trouble. And because LSU doesn't want to track me, I actually like this under, or maybe even the first half under. I mean, I could see LSU getting a score or two in the fourth if, in fact, Georgia is way ahead, because, you know, Georgia might be likely to put in people that don't ever see the field to say they played in an SEC championship game. So I don't love this game, but I don't think it's just as easy as everyone thinks. So I would maybe take LSU for the first half. It'll be short, sweet, and over early for me if Georgia does what everybody expects them to do. But, you know, as again, I think LSU is just going to have to do some things they don't normally do, and that maybe could take a little bit for Georgia to adjust. So if LSU has a chance, I think it's in the first half.
All right. Well, there's Uncle Dave's play. I'm torn on a side. I don't want to lay 17.5, so like I said, I'll skip that. But I think the over might be worth the look. That's all I really have on that one. J-Rod doesn't have a play on that one. Let's jump over to our final one here. We got Clemson, UNC. We got the ACC championship. This will be -7.5 here in favor of Clemson. Total 63.5. Uncle Dave, what do you got on this one?
Yeah, I mean, when I first saw the line, I wanted to find a way to take the Tar Heels. And I think a lot of people are trying, because there's a ton more tickets on the Tar Heels than Clemson tickets. But that line's still over 7 points. No indication of coming down anytime soon. I mean, Clemson has never lost an ACC championship game. And in the last four, the smallest margin of victory was by 24 over Notre Dame, who at the time was ranked second. I think Clemson was ranked third. And this is a Tar Heel team that recently lost at home to Georgia Tech as, I think, a 3-touchdown favorite. And I think that just deflated them at the time. You know, they were a one-loss team, and maybe they had, you know, high hopes. And then they lost the in-state rivalry at home to NC State last week. I don't know how much of that was a hangover. I just can't trust them to all of a sudden start putting up a fight when they went from a probable New Year's Six bowl to maybe staying home playing in like the Duke's Mayo Bowl in Charlotte, which would actually make a ton of sense for any sort of crowd to show up. So, and typically these ACC championship games, even prior to Clemson being in it every year, we're not even close, and I don't think this one is either. I think Clemson kicks the shit out of them.
All right, well, I hope you're right there, Uncle Dave, because I am not a happy camper with North Carolina. I went ahead and gave out a game of the year there on North Carolina against NC State, and they shouldn't have lost that game. I mean, and NC State was down to what, Uncle Dave? I think we talked about this, down to like their third-string quarterback. And, you know, they were talking about, you know, this kid, maybe being a Heisman. Like, look, maybe he has talent. Maybe he beat up on some crummy teams or some decent teams. But he looked scared. Like, he literally looked scared against that NC State defense. And I just wonder what he's going to feel like and look like in this game against Clemson. Clemson's going to be salty coming off of a loss. I think Clemson probably has more to play for. The fact that they're ranked ninth and, you know, they could end up playing. I mean, don't be surprised if, you know, if things end up panning out where Clemson plays Ohio State or something like that. Like, Clemson to me is playing for a bigger bowl game than North Carolina is. That's just my opinion, because North Carolina already has 3 losses. It's tough for me to even consider North Carolina here. I honestly wouldn't take them. There's a chance they could get bombed in this game. If that quarterback goes out and plays anything like he played against NC State, they're getting beat by multiple scores in this game. But I did see some flashes from that kid, May, that, you know, made me kind of think, okay, maybe he's not terrible. but it was like, you know, it was down in the end, like where you're, you know, in OT, and he was like making throws that he should have been making all game long. So I don't know. I don't know what to make of that North Carolina team right now. They look like they're just lost, not playing well. And I don't know, maybe a wager in this particular game might be like Clemson first half. Like maybe it takes a little bit of time for this kid to go ahead and get his footing, because he hasn't looked good in the first halves of you know, the last two games. So maybe that's a way to go ahead and look. You know, I'll do that, Uncle Dave. I'll give that out, because I think that that's probably – that's what I saw in the last game. So I'll take Clemson in the first half. I think Clemson comes out, you know, ripping and roaring, ready to roll. And maybe USC – or maybe UNC finds their footing later on in the game. So Clemson for me in the first half, that's where I'm at there, Uncle Dave, with that one. But that's it, guys. That'll wrap up the podcast. Quick couple games there for you. We went ahead and gave you guys the Friday night. So make sure you guys go ahead and get down on that. Uncle Dave and I were on opposite sides of the two big games. And I gave you guys my crazy prediction. We'll see how that all pans out. If you guys haven't heard the NFL podcast yet, Uncle Dave and I went ahead. We did that. That's up on our Twitter accounts right now at SleepyJ_pregame, at Dave_Essler. You guys know where to find us at bettingpredators.com and on the best sports betting information site on the web, pregame.com. With that said, I'd like to wish you guys all the best of luck for college football championship week. Enjoy the games.